talking hockey in the middle of July. I mean, can life get any better? I submit that it cannot. Boy, do we got a big one for you today. As the Minnesota Wild, which nobody saw coming, fired their general manager today. How about that? That is not something that you see every day in the National Hockey League. A general manager firing on July 30th. 1 year from the time the general manager started. Pretty awkward and weird. Plus, Ryan Callahan finally traded away from the Tampa Bay Lightning. I have details on that. Chris Kunitz retires. Dennis Potvin retired again. And, of course, what's going on with those RFAs? We got a lot going on with those RFAs. Braden Point, Mitch Marner, where are we at? And who I think is actually going to wind up getting an offer sheet late in the offseason here. Plus, something that no other hockey show has for you because the information just came out seconds ago. We have it here for you on who the Minnesota Wild are bringing in to help direct their next general manager search. This is the smartest hockey talk show available. It's the only hockey talk show available. Well, that's called the hockey talk show, at least. Let's get into it. Yeah, man. So it is so good to see you guys. Appreciate the support as always. Make sure to hit that like button on YouTube and Facebook. Make sure to subscribe, support us if you can on the podcast. There's ways to donate. It's all available at hockeytalkshow.com. The Minnesota Wild, they're going to bring in Mike Modano to help along this search process for a new general manager. And I got to say, I am definitely impressed. Danny, how you doing, man? Ugh. Bus ride home from Boston. Glad that you are with us, my brother. Michael, great show. Appreciate that. G Heavy, how's it going over there on the YouTube chat? If you guys are watching, comment from where you're watching from. Let me know what you guys think. I would love to hear from the Minnesota Wild fans on what you think about firing your general manager 1 year into the process. But we're going to peel back the onion, if you will, on why this happened, why it happened now. And we're actually going to hear from Craig Leopold, owner of the Minnesota Wild himself. So he's going to give us a little bit of an insight on that. It's a pretty shocking move. But again, I thank the hockey gods because now we got something to talk about in the middle of the summer here, legitimately in the middle of the summer on this July 30th. So thanks so much for being here with us. Let me just start by saying this. It's the consensus out there on the internet right now that Paul Fenton was fired because of some bad trades. Now, you're going to hear from Craig Leopold in a second, and he's going to basically tell you that it wasn't one thing, it was a bunch of things. But the Athletic's Michael Russo, who broke this story, and congratulations to him on breaking the story, he kind of harps on the fact that the Nino Niederreiter-Victor Rask trade to Carolina was the straw that broke the camel's back. Craig Leopold didn't admit to that, nor would I expect him to, but I just disagree with Michael Russo in this particular case. I think that Paul Fenton made a bunch of moves that weren't all that great, the Nino Niederreiter thing being one of them, but let's not forget for a second who Nino Niederreiter is. He's kind of a pain in the rear end from everything that I've heard of. Now, he was drafted by the New York Islanders. I can't remember. I confused Nino with Sean Bergenheim because they were all kind of around that same window when I worked there. I can't exactly remember who was who and if I was still there or not, whatever. But the general consensus on Nino Niederreiter is he's kind of a pain in the rear end. He's one of those aloof scorers, you know, doesn't always take care of the puck so well. Tons of skill, not a whole bunch of heart to him. He's not, you know, a savior of a franchise by any way, shape, or form. Victor Rask, by the way, had been playing really well up until the point that he was traded. Rocky at times, not as consistent. It wasn't the worst trade I've ever seen in the world. It wasn't great. Clearly, Nino Niederreiter shined for the Carolina Hurricanes and jumped on that wave of jerks down there and rode that whole thing to the conference finals. And it really made Paul Fenton look bad at the end of the day. But again, we're not interested in being Monday morning quarterbacks here. You know, I go back to the time of the trade was made and I don't hate the trade. You know, it's not a great trade for Minnesota. But again, you coming in here as Minnesota, you're coming in as the Minnesota Wild general manager and you know you're facing a franchise where you've got two contracts that are impossible to move, what are you going to do? You're going to have to trade some other guys to change the locker room, change the atmosphere, change the culture, the thing that everybody likes to use. So guys are going to get moved out. You're going to want to bring in your guys. We saw that with the Kevin Fiala move. He was one of the guys that drafted Kevin Fiala when he was with the Nashville Predators. Brings in Kevin Fiala. Kevin Fiala is going to have to get signed to a contract. You know, a lot of people are back and forth on Kevin Fiala. Again, I like him. A lot of talent. Consistency is an issue. Can he step up and be the player that a lot of people are predicting he can be? That's all stuff that we're going to have to wait and see if that happens or not. But again, I don't hate the move. I don't hate a lot of this guy's moves. I think that clearly this was a lot of off the ice, if you will, behavior. I'm not alluding to anything terrible here, but it just, the vibe that I get after kind of taking a look at all these things and seeing where they fall is, there's a lot that goes into being a general manager, and it's not just trades, and it's not just signing free agents, and it's not just the draft, but you're managing people, you're managing human beings, and you're managing a lot of things all at once. You know, you've got to get the players you want to get and put them in place. You got to put a coaching staff in place to help the players. You have trainers that you have to worry about. You have a front office staff that you have to worry about. You know, you have all these different elements and all these different people and all these different personalities. And it takes a special individual to keep all that stuff in line and moving in the right direction. You know, it's just, and a lot of franchises are different. You know, you look at Lou Lamoriello, who's going to be the gold standard for a lot of general manager talk always. And the guy is, he's in the hallway of the locker room before a game or during a game, looking at the team meal, making sure the chicken is cooked properly. Like, this is legitimately what, I swear to God, this is what Lou Lamoriello does. He's into, you know, he's watching the trainers cut the tape. He's into everything. And then you have some other general managers that aren't necessarily into that, but they have a president of hockey operations, or there's a business CEO guy or whoever who is picking up some of that other slack, you know, not only some of the hockey side things, but general managers have to be involved in the business and the day-to-day, the marketing meetings, season ticket sales, things of that nature. That stuff does, you know, affect them, not to mention some of the charitable aspects that is involved with their jobs. It's a strong position in most markets, especially the Canadian ones. And if you're a general manager, you yield some power there. And a lot of charities reach out to you, a lot of community events. A lot goes into being a general manager. I don't think that Paul Fenton was ready for those things. And we're going to hear from Craig Leopold, who addressed the media. I took a look at some of the things that were available online from some of my fellow hockey pundits who are available via YouTube or just strictly social media. And okay, coverage, they're not going to have what we're going to have for you right here, which is Craig Leopold addressing the media on the firing of Paul Fenton. Let's hear from the start of the press conference.
Good afternoon. Today has been a tough day for a lot of us around the office today. This morning I called Paul Fenton and indicated that I was going to be letting him go. It was a short conversation. He accepted it. We had a few words, and we decided to go in different directions. So with that, I'm available for any questions that anyone may have.
Different directions. Craig Leopold went back into the office, and Paul Fenton went to the unemployment line. Those are the different directions.
The timing is so interesting, where the end of the season seems so far in the rearview mirror. The draft is done. A lot of the offseason moves are done. Can you get into some of why now?
Well, I think you're right. The timing is a little interesting, and it's the reason for the termination is not any one big issue, but it was over a time smaller issues just were building up, and ultimately decided that this was not a good fit that our organization and our culture were a little different than the way Paul wanted to handle things, and we just felt this was the time to do it, and we were going to move forward in a different direction.
Craig, was there a final straw?
There was no final straw. There really wasn't. This was something I had been thinking about, and then began to pull the onion back a little bit within our organization and hockey ops, and there was absolutely no main or big issue. It was just a lot of smaller issues, and we just felt it was time to move.
Craig, at what point did you start to think that this decision that you made last summer wasn't the right one?
I would say probably at the end of our season.
I love the pause there because he's like, should I tell the truth, which is I almost immediately regretted hiring Paul Fenton, or should I say something that sounds a little bit better for both he and I so we don't look as stupid as we actually look?
I'd say probably at the end of our season. Yeah.
What tipped it off?
You know, again, it's a good question, and I've been asking myself that question. Is there any one thing? The answer is there is not just one thing. It was a realization that our organization was a little different than what we thought Paul was fitting into, and I used the term it wasn't a good fit. That was really it. It just, the culture wasn't the same. I didn't have the same vibes with our employees in hockey ops. And I think, the attitude of some of the players and, all the people in the coaching and in the locker room, the training room, there's just a feeling that we didn't have the right leader for our organization.
You knew Paul before, and I assume you talked extensively in the interview process about direction, philosophy, personality. How did you miss this badly?
It's a great question. I missed it, and this is on me. I don't like the fact that it didn't work out. Paul is a really strong, strategic scout, identifies talent, understands development, all of that, but there were parts of his role that just wasn't working out to my satisfaction.
Craig, do you regret?
All right, so super important right there to keep that in mind, and I think that really sort of locks it in a nutshell. There were just parts or aspects of his job that he wasn't satisfied with. And again, it goes into what I was saying. You're managing people. You have to keep the coach on the same page. You have to make sure your superstar is being taken care of, your assistant general manager, your head scout, the front office, the director of development, there's the community relations person, and there's the game night person, and then there's the marketing person. And then, it's a lot. And from everything that Michael Russo is reporting in The Athletic, which is behind a paywall, so I'll kind of translate as much of it as I can for you here. It's he fell short in a lot of those areas, and a lot of the front office people were not pleased. I mean, let's take a look at some of his record as far as in the public goes, with trades and the like. He tried to trade Zucker like two times that we know of, and I'm sure more than that. Tried to unload him for Phil Kessel, which, what's up to Adam listening in Arizona, watching in Arizona? You must be excited to have 81 in the fold over there. Kessel's looking good. I love the Arizona Coyotes this year. I'm telling you what, the Devils, the Coyotes, there's a couple of teams that have made some shrewd moves that weren't like signing Mitch Marner to an offer sheet big that are going to be vastly improved come next season that I'm really, really excited about. And the Arizona Coyotes are for sure one of those franchises. But the Zucker moves were obviously very public. Tried to move him to Calgary, tried to move him to Pittsburgh. I didn't hate it, but I'm on the record on this show as saying, I wonder what Zucker did, because he's always on the firing line and he's always on the trade block here. And by the way, rather publicly, which is not a move that most general managers want to be associated with, and maybe this is part of the reason why Paul Fenton was fired, because he did talk about this. He was open about the fact that you know, some things fell through. That trade, actually both of those trades, did leak out into the media. Now, you can make the argument that Pittsburgh were the ones who leaked their trade, but Calgary had no reason to leak that deal, that deal fell through. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's part of the reason. Maybe it was an unhappy person in the front office that was like, screw this guy. I'm not going to hold on to his secrets. Look at what he's trying to do here. You know, maybe Mr. Zucker is beloved in the locker room and maybe people didn't want to see him go. Adam's very happy with Kessel. I love it, man. You got to be excited. You know, for the first time in a while, you've got new ownership in Arizona. You got Phil Kessel in the fold. Your goaltender's locked up. Oliver Ekman-Larsson's locked up. Like, things are looking good. There's some chatter and discussion about a new arena and finally getting that team out of Glendale, which I think is completely necessary. Things are exciting in Arizona. Things are depressing in Minnesota. Things are way depressing in Minnesota. Yeah, and you know, his trade record wasn't great. Again, I don't think it was the reason why, but he traded away Granlund. He traded away Charlie Coyle, who wound up being brilliant for the Boston Bruins. Traded Nino Niederreiter. I love Ryan Donato. A lot of potential there. Victor Rask, a lot of potential there. Again, there's a lot of potential there. Those guys can wind up being a core part of the Minnesota Wild moving forward. And I will say, and I got a fair amount of criticism for this because it's the internet and everybody just wants to criticize the heck out of everything. The deal for Matt Zuccarello was a good deal. It was a good deal. Giving 5 years to a 31-year-old is not ideal, but bad deals are handed out by general managers all across the board. We did a Hockey Talk Show blog on this. Go to the Hockey Talk Show website, hockeytalkshow.com. Check out our blog section. Go look at the Matt Zuccarello, Minnesota Wild's free agent signing. Matt Zuccarello was the best free agent signing in the offseason. A couple of factors going into that. Cost per point, age, scoring ability, game-breaking ability. We broke it all down. I think Joe Pavelski was the only player that produced more points at a lower cost than Matt Zuccarello, but it was so close. And because Matt Zuccarello is 31 and Joe Pavelski is in his late 30s, we crowned Matt Zuccarello the most efficient free agent signing of the offseason. He was the best as far as how much the Minnesota Wild had to fork out for their production. Everybody else was way overpaid, not Matt Zuccarello. So that was a good deal. Would he be more comfortable at 4 years, Paul Fenton? Probably, but that probably wasn't enough to get it done. And when you're facing that decision of you can have the player for five or you can lose the player if you don't move off of four, guess what? You go, okay, give him the extra year. We'll just deal with it at the time. It's a lot easier to push your problems down the line. Just ask any general manager that backloaded a big contract or front-loaded a big contract. Jab Elevators, how you doing? Welcome into the show. Appreciate you guys giving the thumbs up on this video. And make sure you guys are sharing on your social media, Twitter, Facebook. Let everybody know we're talking hockey here live. Two-way discussion. You got a question? Pop it into the chat. We do have a phone number, but we're not going to. We'll take live calls when we get back into the season. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Today, the big story, though, the Wild firing general manager Paul Fenton, after just 1 year in the job, he got two drafts. He got one season. It's not a ton of time to make a decision. So that just kind of has to show you and how bad he was at some of the other things. And what's crazy strange about this, and you just heard Craig Leopold talk about it, and I do love that he took responsibility when he said, that's on me. You know, Craig Leopold was a part of the Nashville Predators. You know, he saw Paul Fenton at work. When a general manager job opened up, Paul Fenton was rumored to be the guy. He was on top of a lot of lists of the next general manager to be hired. He was brilliant during the draft, put a lot of those defensemen into place that make the Nashville Predators so great. So these guys had a record of working together, and he was asked about that, and essentially his answer was, that was when Paul Fenton was a head scout, assistant GM, whatever his position was. You know, he was in charge of running the draft. He wasn't in charge of being the general manager, overseeing the entire organization. That is a different position entirely. and apparently he wasn't that great at it. Tom Curver's former player and assistant GM will take over on an interim basis. And here's the late breaking news on this. It's that Mike Modano, former North Star and Dallas Star, will step in and will help Craig Leopold try and fill this position moving forward. Now, Craig was asked, and I'm not going to play it for you, but he was asked essentially, hey, you know, are some of the guys you considered hiring last time still at play? And Craig's answer, rightfully so, was yes, of course. Not a bad move, considering that most of those guys are still looking for gigs because it was only a year ago that you were out there searching for a new general manager. So who is a possibility to move in there? There's a long list of candidates. Michael Russo points out a couple of them, and I like a couple of them. Tom Fitzgerald, Bill Guerin, John Ferguson Jr., Julian Brisebois and Dave Nonis. Julian is now the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're going to talk about him in a second because he traded Ryan Callahan today. And Dave Nonis is now the assistant general manager over the Anaheim Ducks. So those guys are gone. But essentially out of the crop of people that he interviewed last time, all but two are still available. Who else is available? Well, Edmonton fired Peter Chiarelli. He's out there. Flyers general manager, former Flyers general manager Ron Hextall is out there. Former Kings general manager Dean Lombardi is out there. And former Islander general manager Garth Snow is out there. A lot of Islander fans may be laughing at that, but I mean, the fact of the matter is Minnesota is a huge hockey bed for USA Hockey. Garth Snow is, you know, very big in that organization. Well, not in that organization, but he is American last time I checked. It's possible. I don't know. It's possible. Garth Snow is American now, right? Now I feel weird about saying that because I'm not entirely sure, but I'm fairly sure he's American. Yes, he is American. Where was he born? In Massachusetts. And we all know how good those Massachusetts guys get along with those Minnesota guys. So Garth Snow is, I guess, on a possibility. There's Steven with the same mention. Garth Snow is a legit possibility. I mean, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's still getting paychecks from the New York Islanders, so it would probably behoove that organization to let him go. But it's actually a former New York Islander that I just mentioned there that I love and that is very intriguing to me, and that's Bill Guerin. Billy Guerin has done a tremendous job in the assistance role with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I think out of that crop of, you know, other guys that are ready to take that next step into the big seat, I think Billy Guerin is one of those guys. Was a captain for a lot of his teams, played for the New Jersey Devils under Lou Lamoriello. So a lot of knowledge there, a lot of learning there. Has done a good job in Pittsburgh, as I said, good leadership skills. I think he's going to be rumored to be hired anytime a general manager position comes up from now until he actually does get a general manager's job. I think he's been patient. I think he's gone out on a lot of interviews and not gotten gigs. But I also think that he is waiting for the right time. So I think we'll see Billy Guerin as a general manager in the National Hockey League one day. Could it be this time around? Out of the crop of people that are available that haven't been a general manager, he is the most intriguing and interesting to me. Who do I think is a front runner? Well, I think the list of Ron Hextall, Peter Chiarelli, and Dean Lombardi, here are your front runners, absolutely right off the bat. Garth Snow is a possibility, I guess, but I think that you're really kind of looking at a race between Ron Hextall and Dean Lombardi, and here's why. Craig Leopold did state in his press conference he wants experience, and why not? I mean, he was just in a scenario where he gave somebody that chance to step up and be that general manager for the first time, and it didn't work out. To go back to that well, I mean, you got to be impressive. You've got to be damn impressive. And as impressive as Billy Guerin is, I don't know if he's that impressive. I mean, that's, you know, so you got to go with experience. Peter Chiarelli built a Stanley Cup championship team. I believe he's a good general manager. I believe that Edmonton is a black hole of misguided fortune. He wasn't able to right that ship there. I think Ken Holland will have an easier time doing it, although it will not be easy. So I don't know about Peter Chiarelli, but I put him third on that list. Garth Snow obviously being fourth with his record. Ron Hextall and Dean Lombardi are interesting to me. Dean Lombardi's had a good amount of success. He built that Kings team into a contender. He's obviously, you know, won some cups He is a good general manager. He did suffer, as a lot of general managers do. After you have success, you know, a little bit of winning, you go into these long streaks where you can't put it together. That team aged. They never really seemed to you know, put it together. He gets fired. He's a great general manager. I think he is in the lead role for this. I think Ronnie Hextall is still there. And why? He is also a really good general manager. He didn't do much with the Philadelphia Flyers, but he is patient. And is Craig Leopold going to be patient this time around? We'll see. Clearly, the Minnesota Wild need patience, especially when they have Zach Parise and Ryan Suter signed to the 24-25 season. I mean, that is a lot of time to have those contracts on your roster. And you've got an old, aging team here, and you've got to restock the cupboard. And you're going to need a general manager that's not going to get fidgety and try and jump on moves to get better quicker and forego your future. The Minnesota Wild are finally in a position where they have first and second and third round picks, although they don't have one coming up, a third round pick coming up in 2020. And they've got to restock the cupboard. They do not have a lot of prospects over there in Minnesota. The Iowa Stars are not loaded up, and they need to load up. Craig thinks that the Minnesota Wild can make the playoffs this year. I don't know. We'll see. I certainly love the Matt Zuccarello addition. Jason Zucker is there. Firing a general manager who tried to trade you twice certainly can help you turn things around a little bit. Mikko Koivu is 1 year left on his contract. You added Victor Rask, who's making $4 million, who needs to have a bounce-back season. Eric Staal's got 2 years left. After signing an extension, they bring in Ryan Hartman. They're interesting, the Minnesota Wild. They're not a lock by any means. But as long as you have Devin Dubnyk, you got a great coach, you know, you got Matt Dumba. Jared Spurgeon needs to be signed after this season. You've got the potential to do something here. Now, I also want to say this because I did mention it, and a lot of people are going to hang a lot of the excuses of the Minnesota Wild on the two contracts between Ryan Sutter and Zach Parise. The Minnesota Wild going into this season have $9 million in cap space. Jared Spurgeon needs to be signed next year. He makes five now. His raise isn't going to be huge. Kevin Fiala is an RFA, so he needs to be brought under contract. Again, he's not going to eat up a ton of that $9 million. Mikko Koivu is 36. He's making $5.5 million. I could honestly see him being done after this season. So there's another $5.5 million available to you. If the cap goes up another $1 million, $1.5 million, you've got a lot of room to work with. You can make a big splash. You could sign a big free agent. So I don't think that the Minnesota Wild are in as bad a shape as they were in 2 to 3 years ago, because the cap has continued to go up, and suddenly $7.5 million, although not ideal, especially when you look at the production and the injuries and everything else of those two players, but it doesn't handcuff you the way it did a couple of years ago. So there's no excuses for the Minnesota Wild for me. They should be contending. They do have the potential to be there. Although not a dominant team that they were looked at one point, and they definitely have been sliding backwards in a different direction, in the wrong direction for sure, they do have the potential to be there and to make something happen. So we'll see if Mike Medano can help out. Again, my top candidates for sure, Ron Hextall, Dean Lombardi in that 1-2 slot respectively. You can swap those guys back and forth. Peter Chiarelli will be considered for sure. Garth Snow will be considered. Those guys are going to get interviews for sure. And they'll kick the tires on Billy Guerin and, you know, some of the other, Tom Fitzgerald, some of the other guys that have been around and doing some amazing things. But I think it's the guys that have experience that are going to get it. And I think Craig Leopold is a decent owner. He took responsibility here. I like that he's bringing in Mike Medano to be a voice of reason, to be a hockey voice in the room. Being involved in these intimate circles of hockey, it's a small, small world there. I think it's the right move for them right now. So I would be in the pillar of darkness and sadness. That is the Minnesota Wild. I would be excited if you're a Wild fan, because Medano coming in is going to bring a little stabilization for your organization moving forward, trying to get that next skipper. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning. Cowpeak writing in, will Tampa sign Point? Yes, absolutely. They did something today that was hugely important in making that happen, and that was the trade of Ryan Callahan. Now, they could have just put him on LTIR, but they'll leave that for the Senators to do. They've moved a ton of money off of their cap space with Callahan going. Obviously, the hockey gods are smiling down upon the Tampa Bay Lightning with that injury to his back coming along at the right time. They shed his big salary, which wasn't really doing much down on the third and fourth line. Callahan was a great player back in the day. Certainly fell off production-wise. Now they have ton of cap space to get Braden Point under contract. They have $11.1 million. He will not garner $11.1 million. They'll try and get him as cheap as possible. Of course, they're going to use the Florida state tax thing to keep everybody in accordance. Nikita Kucherov is making 9.5. We know now that he could be making way more than that if he was in another market and had to pay more taxes. But that state tax thing is something that the Tampa Bay Lightning are really using to their advantage. So they'll bring him in hopefully around $8 million or so. You know, obviously asking him to take less than Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos is not ridiculous, but he'll be a part of this team moving forward. It'll continue to fuel the trade rumors of Palat and Tyler Johnson and Alex Killorn and some of those guys, but Braden Point will be signed. It was very evident. His agent is the same agent as Sebastian Aho. We think that Montreal tried to get Point first, and when it was just a no-go there, they went to Sebastian Aho for an offer sheet just to kind of make a splash. But by all accounts, Braden Point wants to stay in Tampa and be a Tampa Bay Lightning for a long time. And at 23, he'll have that opportunity. Adam Renee needs to get a deal too. So that needs to get done. And then next year, you're looking at Anthony Cirelli. You're looking at Mikhail Sergachev. So you got some big deals to sign in the next offseason. And you don't have a ton of money coming off of the cap with expiring contracts. And you just signed Andre Vasilevsky to $9.5 million per season. So they're going to be in a crunch for next year. Braden Point will take a while to get done because you want to balance for the next couple of years moving forward with that Vasilevsky raise. But you go to Braden Point and you go, look, you want to be here. We want you to be here. You want to have a goaltender behind you. We had to give Vasilevsky his 9.5. Obviously, Kucherov and Stamkos are making what they're making. Can you come in at 7.5? You know, what can we do? What can we make you happy with? And blah, blah, blah. And the state tax. And please sign with us and leave us enough room so that we can go and give that money to other people as well. So, yes, Braden Point will be signed. The trading of Callahan was a pretty key move in that today. They didn't have to do it, but they do. In case you missed out on the deal, Callahan goes to the Ottawa Senators with a fifth-round pick in exchange for Mike Condon and a sixth-round pick. Mike will obviously start the year down in the minors for the Tampa Bay Lightning, as they also brought in Curtis McElhinney, and he will be the one who backs up Andre Vasilevsky. So a dynamic duo down there in net for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Condon doesn't fit in. He'll obviously get buried down in the minors. He's got 1 year left at $1.3 million. So that'll probably come off and help the Tampa Bay Lightning moving into next year. Louis Domingue is still on a minor league deal. So he'll be making $75,000 down in the minors, and he'll be the call up should McElhinney or Vasilevsky get hurt, I'm sure. Braden Point will come in for sure for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just have a stacked team. I feel like they're the team to beat still, even though they got eliminated in the first round this year. They are the team to beat moving into next season. Julien Brisebois continues to be a capologist here for the Tampa Bay Lightning moving forward. Now that Steve Yzerman is gone, and I love their chances. $11.1 million in cap space. You know, they're going to have to be creative, but they'll get there. They'll get there. Braden Point will get signed. And let's also take a second to point out again how disappointing Ottawa is. You know, you're taking on a contract for a player that somebody's just trying to get off of their list. Usually that comes with a price of a draft pick. They essentially got a fifth and had to give up a sixth in the deal. So Pierre Dorion continues to just stink as a general manager. The Ottawa franchise stinks. They can't do anything right. You're unloading a contract. That should come with a cost and a premium. And they literally gave up a sixth round pick just to get a fifth round pick and trade two guys. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Now, you could argue that Callahan's going to go on LTIR and Condon's 1.3. They're going to save that money. All right. I guess so. But I still think if you're the Ottawa Senators and you're taking on a contract, you know, you got to tell, look, you want to make this done? You want to sign Braden Point? I need a pick. All right. I want a pick and that's it. I'm not giving you a pick in return. I would have stood pat with this a little bit more. You have time to do it. There's not a ton of teams out there that could make that move. I mean, I guess there's a few, but I don't know. I still think that the Ottawa Senators and Pierre Dorion are just a train wreck. I mean, that's still the worst general manager ownership combination. And the Minnesota Wild fired their general manager today on Tuesday, July 30th. So that just goes to show you how much respect I have for Pierre Dorion at this point. So yeah, I think Braden Point will be done. I think your focus, and I think Mitch Marner is going to get done in Toronto. We see now with the moves that they've made that's going to, you know, they're going to be able to make that happen and get that done. So I think, especially for Islander fans who are upset, for Columbus Blue Jackets fans who are upset, teams that have a lot of cap space who are upset that they didn't go out there and make a splash, I think patience is the move right now. It's all about patience. And I think Lou is slow playing this, and I think that Yarmo is slow playing it a little bit. You really don't have any choice. There's still a lot of moves to be made. As we can see, there was a trade today. You know, there's still a lot that needs to be done before training camp. There's always a little bit of a splash and a trade and a move around training camp too. So patience is the move. I think Marner re-signs with Toronto. Marner's number's 12. They want him closer to 10.5. They'll figure that out. They'll eventually close that gap the closer we get. I could see it going past training camp. To me, where my attention really starts to turn now, again, and I've said this before, Patrick Laine, right, and Kyle Connor over there in Winnipeg, that continues to be interesting to me. I just don't see how they get that done over there. And also, and this is becoming even more apparent to me, and the Milan Lucic deal makes this super interesting, but Tkachuk in Calgary, how does that get done? I mean, how does that get done? To me, that is just a really, really interesting one that I don't think anybody's really talking about right now. You know, I think I know Braden Point is like the prize, but those are the guys to me when you look around and you just say, who could we pick up? Who's going to be important here? Those two have moved to the top of my list. The Winnipeg guys and Keith Tkachuk over there in Calgary. All right, Chris Kunitz, to wrap things up here, announced his retirement today. Speaking of important guys, one of the best mid-six, bottom-six forwards who did actually play on the top line a bit and won 4 Stanley Cups in his time as a player. Certainly wish him all the luck in the world. What a phenomenal player. 4 Cups in 15 seasons. That is pretty darn good. And probably nobody would have assumed this at the time that he was drafted and was playing and was signing his deals. But Chris Kunitz is one hell of a player for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he retires as Chicago Blackhawk. He's hired as the Chicago Blackhawks player development advisor. So happy to see him sneak into that role with the Chicago Blackhawks organization. Certainly deserving, and congratulations on one hell of a career for Chris Kunitz. How about, oh my God, I almost said Felix Potvin. How about Dennis Potvin? He retired again, this time from the Florida Panthers broadcasting booth. He's been the play-by-play color analyst for the Florida Panthers since the 93-94 season. He also spent some time with the Ottawa Senators before he rejoined the Panthers. Just a great guy all around as a former Islander employee, and him being the captain of the 4 Cup teams. I have nothing but lovely and polite things to say about Dennis Potvin. I worked with him when I worked with the Islanders, especially in away broadcasts. A lot of the times I would help the away broadcasters with their shows, and was a great guy. Absolutely great guy and a pleasure to work with on the few occasions that I did work with him. So congratulations to him. How about the New Jersey Devils? Again, I brought this up just a second ago, but let's get into it as we wrap up the show here. And if you have any other questions, throw it in the chat right now so that I can hopefully answer before we get off the show here. But Nikita Gusev, the Goose, gets traded from Vegas to the Devils for a 3rd-round pick. And a 2nd-round pick, 3rd is in 20, seconds and 21, 27 years old. By all accounts, one of the best players outside of the National Hockey League. George McPhee didn't want to pay the tab on the contract that it would have taken him to sign. We now know that that was $4.5 million over $4.5 million a year over 2 years, so a $9 million contract altogether. And the New Jersey Devils have just continued to improve and improve and improve. Right, Gusev. Subban, adding Jack Hughes in the draft, bringing in Wayne Simmonds. I mean, this Devil team has really done some phenomenal work in the offseason and some great work that, by the way, hasn't busted their cap or blown their, young crop of talent. They have made some shrewd moves. Yeah, you give up a second and a third here, but you're getting a skilled forward and a good playmaker. The only way this fires back at you, if you're the New Jersey Devils, which is entirely possible, is if Gusev is a bust in the National Hockey League. And it wouldn't be the first time that that happened to a Russian and or European player coming over here. That does happen at times. So it can happen to the New Jersey Devils. I don't believe it will. I like this kid. Again, it seems like Ray Shiro is doing everything he can to line up the Devils to be good enough to get Taylor Hall under contract moving forward. And I think he has it. He's improved. It's driving Islander fans crazy. But again, the Islanders made the playoffs last year. All the moves that the Rangers are making, driving Islander fans crazy. But again, the Islanders made the playoffs last year. Those other two teams didn't. But those other two teams have done a really damn good job on trying to get back into that position. And I think that, I think that they're going to make it happen. Liz, are the Lightning mad at Callahan like the Blackhawks at Anisimov? Liz referencing my blog about the Blackhawks punishing Artem Anisimov by trading him to the Ottawa Senators. Maybe a little. Yeah, maybe a little. I mean, we knew he wasn't going to play again, but that certainly does hurt. Could have traded him to another team. Could have definitely traded into another team. But only Pierre Dorion was probably the only general manager dumb enough to give them a draft pick back in return. Idiot. All right, that's it for me for tonight. Appreciate the support as always. Make sure you guys are supporting the Hockey Talk Show. We put links up in the YouTube and Facebook chat. So go on and scroll down there, see our posts. You can support the show for 99 cents a month. Super cheap. I know you have it. Donate it if you can. 99 cents a month, a pretty good deal to get some live Hockey Talk going here on a regular basis. We'll be back next time. Some big news breaks for sure. Hopefully we'll get some RFA news. We'll look at some, we're going to get into August and we're going to start previewing next season already, which is awesome. Camps are going to get back into play here. Rumors are going to start firing up again. So there's a lot of great stuff to look forward to moving forward here on the Hockey Talk Show. Make sure you tell your hockey friends that we're talking hockey right here. HockeyTalkShow.com is the best way to get in touch with us. And make sure you guys are subscribing on YouTube. We need to bump our YouTube subscribers a bit. Got a lot of viewers on Facebook, which I do appreciate. But if you can, scoot on over to our YouTube channel. Links and more info available at HockeyTalkShow.com. Minnesota Wild, will update you if we hear anything else on the hiring process there. Good luck to Craig and Mike Madonna on their search. And we'll see you guys on the next shift. Have a great night, everybody.